Welcome to a podcast by Michael Servetus on the Book of the Errors of the Trinity, written in 1531 when he was 19 years old. A rare book. Chapter 57. Moreover, if the second person assumes Mary as it assumed Christ, then the sophists admit that Mary is Christ. Christ bore the Son of God. Christ is his own mother. Christ is man and woman. Pray restrain your laughter if you can. And with all this they keep a brazen front, so that they know not how to blush. Moreover, they say there is a great difference between constitution and composition, for they assume a constitution in divine beings, because the Son is constituted of an essence, but is not composed. Moreover, just as they assume two births of the two beings in Christ, and different ones, so also they assume two inbreathings in the third being. In the first place, it flows from within the first two by a kind of chimerical and monstrous branching off. In the second place, they say that by another mutation it is breathed in from without and in time by the other two. Furthermore, they say that this and the second being are being daily made or produced. These are clearly the artificial emissions of aeons, which are being daily produced, begotten, born, and made, and at this point, strangely enough, they would have the fourth appearance a very simple one, so that notwithstanding these deformities in its womb, the two beings, when brought forth, together with the other being begetting but not begotten, constitute one inactive nature, not begotten, nor begetting, nor breathed upon, nor breathing. Moreover, there is great controversy as to what names belong to the human nature and what to the second being. For at first they apply the title of Son not to the man, but to the second being. And in consequence of this, when Jesus Christ is called the Son of God, the words Jesus and Christ both flocked together to that. Finally, they maintain that he is called Son of Man, not from a man, but from this being. Nay, more, they deny that the man himself is a man, and so his human nature has remained nameless. Moreover, Basil the Great maintains with singular mistakenness that he is called begotten, and not a created being, a son, and not born. And the great theologian Nazianzen, in his theology, holds that the third spirit was neither begotten nor unbegotten, a view which Augustine and others follow. And whether the third person proceeds from the Father and the Son, or from the Father only, as the Greeks say, is a very bitterly debated, vain, and ancient problem, which I shall later solve with ease. In fact, I wonder why they do not also debate whether the second proceeds from the third, just as the third does from the second, so that each in turn may be the cause of the other. For it is written, "And now the Lord hath sent me, and his Spirit." Hence the Son is sent by the Spirit, and is said to have been conceived of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord is said to be upon him. Chapter 58. Again, whether the Father and the Son are called one breather collectively, or are called one beginning because they are one essence, and thus whether the essence is the beginning of the inbreathing, is an intelligible question. For they would have the fourth appearance, which they call essence, be inactive in all respects. At least the moderns would. Furthermore, it is of great importance whether the notions are the common ones, or are those of persons by technical definition. Likewise, it makes a great difference whether a thing is said to be a substance or not. It even makes so great a difference that the whole kingdom of heaven depends on it. For they deny that the man Jesus Christ is a substance. And there is a long discussion from the 25th to the 35th distinction in which Occam strongly insists, while they lay the foundations of our faith upon certain notions, relations, formalities, quiddities, and filiations of which Paul never thought. They are founded upon the sand and not upon the solid rock, and regarding the majesty of faith as not firm, they seem to make game of it. Pray hear the sound reasoning of the Lombard rabbi in his sentences, where he treats of the very subtle question as to what befits the truest majesty of God. That is, what is the reason of the difference that the Father is said to love with the love which proceeds from him, and is not called wise with the wisdom which proceeds from him? And being wholly and thoroughly terrified by the difficulty, he wavers, and knows not whither he goes. Likewise, in another chapter is a question which, though difficult, is yet ridiculous, namely, what is the reason of the difference that properties cannot be in the persons without limiting them, and yet they are in the essence without limiting it? Pray, what Turk, Scythian, barbarian could bear these disputes of words, as Paul calls them, without laughter? But it would be superfluous here to follow them through one by one, although there are among them many other horrible inventions on the subject of the incarnation, both far removed from the terms of the law and foreign to them. Reflect only upon this, whether these questions savor at all of the apostolic mind. See whether this is the teaching of our Master, Christ. At present we have grown accustomed to them, but future generations will judge these things amazing. Verily, they are amazing, more so than the things that Irenaeus relates of Valentinus. Nor is there in the whole Bible one letter which leads to these fancies. Chapter 59. Furthermore, and worse than all this, how much this tradition of the Trinity has, alas, been a laughingstock to the Mohammedans, only God knows. The Jews also shrink from giving adherence to this fancy of ours, and laugh at our foolishness about the Trinity. And on account of its blasphemies, they do not believe that this is the Messiah who was promised in their law. And not only Mohammedans and Hebrews, but the very beasts of the field would make fun of us did they grasp our fantastical notion, for all the works of the Lord bless the one God. Hear also what Mohammed says. For more reliance is to be given to one truth which an enemy confesses than to 100 lies on our side. For he says in his Al-Quran that Christ was the greatest of the prophets, the Spirit of God, the power of God, the breath of God, the very soul of God, the Word born of a perpetual virgin by God's breathing upon her, and that it is because of the wickedness of the Jews toward him that they are in their present wretchedness and misfortune. He says, moreover, that the apostles and evangelists of the first Christians were the best of men, and wrote what is true, and did not hold the Trinity or three persons in the divine being, but men in later times added this. Chapter 60. This most burning plague, therefore, was added and superimposed, as were the new gods which have recently come, which our fathers did not worship. And this plague of philosophy was brought upon us by the Greeks, for they above all other men are most given to philosophy, and we, hanging upon their lips, have also become philosophers. Perhaps some will deem it a slight fault if I admit that they may have erred, but I prove this in no other way than by showing that they never understood the passages of the Scriptures which they adduce with regard to this matter. If they distinguished the brightness that then was from their own darkness so utterly confused, they might realize that Paul well said that the church of God is the ground and pillar of the truth, which is no more than to say that the word of the gospel is true, and that the word of the gospel is this, namely that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For as much as I have said, and shall say more at large below, the most solid support and foundation of the truth on which the church is founded is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it was on account of this foundation that Paul said, pillar of the truth. Therefore, our church is not said to be founded without a foundation, for its observation of this firm truth gives it the name of rock, pillar, and church of God. For a church can remain without remaining the church of God. Peter can remain in it, though no rock remains. These are matters too small to deserve mention. Were there not some who have teeth of iron, so that if they bite hold of but a single passage of Scripture, they are content? But I would that they might as diligently observe other passages of Scripture. Chapter 61. Again, what good, pray, does it do them that Christ said to the apostles, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world? For Christ remained with the apostles and with all who were of their number, and is to remain unto the end of the world. But we are not of their number, for had we been of their number, we should have abode in their teaching. Again, mark what follows, and you shall understand the condition. Preach the gospel, he says. Teach them to observe all things which I commanded you, and lo, I am with you. Where, pray, are those who are preaching Christ? Where are those who are keeping his commandment, namely, about believing that he is the Son of God, that Christ may be with them? I will show you at the end of Book 3 something that you do not know, what this gospel is that is committed to them to be preached. Nay, more, I will prove to you that you are no Christian. They believe that a congregation is a kind of mathematical body holding the Spirit of God bound by the hair, even though none of them knows Christ nor his Spirit. As often he says, as you are gathered together in my name. But how are those gathered together in the name of Christ who know not who the Christ is? Besides, how will the Holy Spirit be in the congregation, if in individuals of it there be a spirit full of fornication and robbery? Beware then, lest by mere persistence in saying, the church cannot err, you oppose knowledge of Christ, and defend the error of ignorance of him. May the Lord grant you understanding, that you may conform to the simplicity of the Scriptures. If you have sought after Christ with your whole heart, he will without fail be gracious to you. You've been listening to On the Errors of the Trinity by Michael Servetus, a rare book.